Hello, hello. Good evening, Killarney. How are we all? We are here tonight at Dr. Croke's in the heart of Killarney. I was going to say in the shadow of Fitzgerald Stadium, but very much Fitzgerald Stadium's in the shadow of Dr. Croke's.
You're saying all the right stuff. He's saying all the right stuff tonight, isn't he?
Kieran Donaghy is here. Wow.
Oh, it's deep, Nathan, it's deep.
That's an impressive trophy cabinet. Have you got something like that in stacks, do you?
Batty's a bouncer, yeah, we have that down in stacks, yeah. We've 11 of them, Batty's down there doing a patrol, minding it.
Sean Boylan is going to be with us later.
Yeah, legend.
He made the terrible, terrible mistake. He did something no one wants to do. He went to stacks instead of Croke's. So he has left for Lee, we're told.
He was told to go to the county champions. He got the club championship and the county championship mixed up. And
well, in fairness, I think pretty much everybody outside Kerry would make that very simple
probably,
mistake.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Do you want to get your promos done now?
No, I'm okay.
Who gave you the suit this time? He was literally out there on Instagram, I'm fairly sure, tagging EJ Menswear. Did EJ himself drive down to Killarney today to get suited and booted?
I got it specially delivered, and Nathan got his shoes in the same place, so we're all delighted with it.
Is EJ a regular in your house now, Hillary? Turns up every weekend, whether you like him or not.
Yeah, EJ's the man.
You get a good welcome generally when you come to Croke's? Good Kerry tradition? The fullback and like the side,
There'll be a right good rivalry between the two clubs, and any time out there, all these people hate me. When I'm across the road, I might be okay.
The odd time.
Yeah, the odd time. If I was wearing the green and gold, I'm okay, I think.
We have a great show lined up. As I say, Sean Boylan is going to be with us. How long does it take to get from Tralee to
About Killarney? 30 minutes.
All right, he'll be here. He'll be here in the next half an hour or so. We've got Margaret Lawler Slattery with us as well, a 10-time All-Ireland winner who's going to talk to us about ladies football in Kerry down through the years. But let's get our first two guests out on stage. First up, a 4-time All-Ireland winner, Darren O'Sullivan. And also a true Dr. Croke's legend, an All-Ireland winner as a player and as a manager. Give it up for Pat O'Shea. Come on, Pat. Grab a seat over there. How are we?
Good.
You were here, were you, last weekend?
No, I wasn't.
No?
I was tagged all right. I wasn't really doing anything, but their B team or some team.
You got beaten by the B team. Was that your first team?
We won't go there.
Are you still starting?
Not anymore.
Pat, were you watching?
What?
Has he still got it? Or should we even ask?
Oh, yeah. He's still the quickest man in the field, I know, that's for sure. Yeah. Never lost it. Given old, bit cranky, getting old. But, you know, you could still see that will to win near the end of the game. I was a bit cross when they came off, but sure. That's the way it goes.
It is a... For people outside of Kerry, always feels like a convoluted system of the club game and figuring out county champions and club champions. Are Dr. Croke's for outsiders, are they seen nowadays as the sort of aristocrats of the club game in Kerry? Or can you admit that?
Oh, no, you'd admit it right. I'm lucky enough, I'm only living out the road, like, and so I see it at even underage level weekends here. It's full of kids and they're all getting coached the right way. And like that, we've no... It's embarrassing to lose to a B team, but the way their B team plays football, if you watch them, you know, they're all coached the right way, they're all intelligent footballers. So at the moment, it's up to everyone else, the likes of Donaghy there and Stacks and Rahley's and all these other clubs to try and catch up to them, and that's just the way it is.
You have a young baby, do you?
I do, yeah.
Going to be a Croke's player?
I'm living in the Fossett Parish.
So I'm not David Clifford now, like.
Yeah, yeah. They all want to be the next David Clifford. Pat, for you, when did you first walk through the doors of Croke, what age were you?
3 or 4, you know, when you could walk. I mean, parents only live around the corner, so we grew up here, not here, specifically across the road. When we were young, the stadium was the mecca for every young person. And, you know, going back in the 70s, it was different because, first of all, gates were wide open. Health and safety wasn't existing, and you literally could go anywhere you wanted. I mean, most of the time for people who would go back the years, the terrace, the concrete terrace, which is in Fisher Stadium, no, that was grass. That was grass terrace.
Right.
Sheep grazing it for 9 months of the year, kept the grass low. The same grazing the small pitch in the outside pitch, which was used predominantly by the Kerry senior team to win all the All-Irelands. They trained outside in the small pitch and then in the heavy stuff, use the hill, and then obviously back inside. So that's where we grew up. best childhood you could have. You hung out with your friends. Killarney was busy, but it was still quite a different place. Ireland was a different place at that stage, but to get a chance to see the Kerry players at that particular time, the golden year, you know, to see them training, to see the intensity and the efforts. I mean, it was a kind of a standing joke amongst the players. At that particular time, some of the pin pitchers would come out and you would get Owen Liston saying the toughest player, you know, you've ever marked was John O'Keefe in training or somebody else in training. And it was only when you saw them training that you realised how true it was.
That's a common theme, I think, for every single great team always says that their training games are as hard as any match they actually play.
Yeah, so it was great. It was great coming up here.
Would you be out there then as a 8-9-year-old during the summer, you and all your mates would go out and kick ball in Fitzgerald Stadium, and then in the evening you'd just hang around and act as ball boys for the senior team?
And pretty much that was it, yeah. You became invisible, you know, you just became part of the fabric and you just woven in. But it was natural at the time. But I think the club then, we originally, obviously, the club would have a serious history with the Fitzgerald Stadium going back to Dr. Raymond. His grandchildren, great-grandchildren were actually visiting around Killarney this weekend. And okay. They're here tonight, I think. Not sure if they're here, but I certainly met them earlier on today. And, you know, that's a huge connection back. The Dick Fitzgeralds, they were obviously all Crokes. So then we kind of came across the road here. And, you know, we haven't turned back. I mean, obviously, it's great. Facilities are fantastic. And, you know, it's a great home to be in.
The success of, I guess, in particular, the last 25 or so years from playing and winning at All-Ireland. When you were growing up then and as a teenager progressing through the ranks and thinking about playing senior, what were the aspirations around Crokes? Were you always thinking county titles, Munster All-Ireland titles?
No, we weren't. No, I mean, the biggest competition, going back pretty much before our time, it was the local East Kerry Championship was the All-Ireland. And that was it. So we were lucky. There was a bunch of us that kind of came through together and who had kind of aspirations, I guess, to kind of maybe move on a little bit more. And then we opened the doors to other opportunities in relation to the county competitions. I mean, lads were talking about where we stand at the moment. And, you know, we idolised the Stacks. We idolised Nemo Rangers. We idolised, you know, the teams that we just aspire to be like at some stage in our careers. And it's taken a while. I mean, Darren mentioned about the structures. We try to go along about building proper structures in the club. Coaching programs were put in place. People were brought through the right way. We looked after people as much as we could. And eventually, obviously, our aspirations grew. We were lucky enough to have some of the greatest footballers of all time in the club, which doesn't, you know, go unnoticed, and it helps an awful lot. And, you know, about putting it together was important. We would have traditionally had not a great name in Kerry in relation to the whole Killarney summer activity and being committed to football. And that balance was always a bit of a worry. So people back in the 60s and the 70s, maybe the early 80s, they were kind of pushed aside because he enjoyed Killarney too much. There's too much of a good life.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah.
But I think that has changed, to be fair. And obviously, from our point of view, you know, we're just thrilled and we're going through a golden period in the club. You know, obviously, this doesn't last. We understand that, you know, you have to enjoy the periods that you have, and we've enjoyed it. It's been great.
The pressure you had going in last year or 2 years ago as manager versus that game in 92, I know how much you wanted to get that team over the line a number of years ago. What was it like versus the player in 92? Because that must have been a huge occasion to all of a sudden be in Croke Park with the Crokes.
Yeah, well, look, playing in 92 is just, it's a dream. You never think you're going to get there. I mean, and most people, for us all, whoever's been involved in the highest level, you always know that you hope to be there someday. But getting there is a totally different thing. The amount of hard work that goes into getting a team and an individual prepared to play at the very highest level to fulfill every ambition they've ever had in their life is just unbelievable. You cannot kind of, it's difficult to explain. So yeah, 92 was just amazing. We had 21 players tagged out. Two of them were injured. The sub goalie was playing wing back. You know, that was what it was. We won the Munster Club the year before, and we had to actually get people to be in the panel. That's how small the group is. Sometimes that's a huge advantage because we're really tight, rather than, you know, expanded panels. But it just showed at the time for what it was like, you know.
Yeah, because I think from the outside you would look and think Crokes, a Killarney club, a big town, that actually numbers were never an issue. That one of the driving forces for success would have been the depth of talent that you would have had.
And it's the opposite, Nathan. We're actually a small town, 15,000 people, three clubs within the town, Darren mentioned one or two of the clubs that are literally outside of town, which are added to that. So it's a competitive market, you know. If young people come in the door, we try our best to look after them, and we hope at some stage down the line they'll play. But we never guarantee, and we never talk about, obviously, the winning. That's immaterial. It's about fun. It's about enjoyment. It's about being with friends. It's about what sport can do for you is what really it's all about for us.
Yeah.
In 92, this story is well out there, but there was a mascot there for you that day. Mm-hmm. When do you first remember him being that young kid out there? Do you remember looking at him kind of going, Jesus?
Yeah, he was there every time that we trained, every time we played, Colin would turn up. He had a ball all the time. Incredible that he just fitted in. I mean, a famous story in 92 was that, first of all, they wouldn't allow mascots in. Right, so, you know,
which was a small kind of forward, so
we've caught him at the gate going, listen,
I was wondering why he had a jersey on,
inconspicuous, like, right here, I'm here for the day, like, but he's at the gate, and the guy at the gate is saying, no, there's no bouncers today. So our captain and goalkeeper say, listen, either he's coming in with us, or we're taking the gate down, and he's coming in with us anyway. So you can make his choice.
10 at this stage,
he's maybe 9 or 10, and so we get onto the field. And Peter O'Brien, who's super goalkeeper for us, played with Kerry, fantastic keeper. So Cullen was outside taking shots at him, like. He doesn't touch any of them, like. He can't get near him, like. The man is 10, he's outside.
Good for the confidence.
He's just saying, and that's exactly what he said after. He said, this is not doing a whole point. He actually told Gooch, go away. He called up one of the other guys. So I can, and that's a true story, like, that, you know, you couldn't get near him, man, after the whole thing about being involved. But look, you know, we did an interview for 97 All-Ireland Final, Kerry and Mayo, sorry Nathan, and...
won't be the last time I hear that's nice.
It was just done out here, we just opened the place, and he was interviewed. Again, he was only, you know, whatever, 12 or 13 at the time, and he was interviewed. But it was interesting that there was drills going on behind him while he was being interviewed, and while he was interviewed, and he answered all the questions perfectly, he never took his eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. So literally his eyes followed the ball up and down the pitch while he was being interviewed. It was that he loved the game, and he played like he loved the game, which is, you know, the way you should play.
Everybody would love when they have a 5-6-year-old come into an academy to create a Colm Cooper, to create that sort of technically gifted. Like when he did come through the gates, I don't know if you remember, as a 5-6-year-old, like, was there instantly something in him that was that ability, or was it just the fact he was here probably 5, 6, 7 days a week? Was it just getting the 10,000 hours in? Like, was it natural talent, or was it something that was born out there by just pure dedication?
Yeah. The nurture. Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, but I think the nurture, you know, in relation to, I mean, we all would like to think, you know, like the Cool Moore stud, like that it's all going to come hereditary down the line, but more often than not, you have to have a bit of that, for sure, but I think you have to have that, you know, willingness to go out and enhance and develop. And that's what he had, you know. I mean, you know, he just had that unbelievable desire to want to be playing football all the time, 24-7. He wanted to make teams. He aspired. But he picked things up super quick. He was able to, and, you know, again, famously, was on the worst team that we ever produced. And played in every position, pretty much.
Right.
From full back up. Never won anything in his own age. You know, and yet we got a good few players out of that team, but he'll tell you to the day, like, it was just not, it wasn't a success. But it was, and for 2 years ago for us, you know, obviously, you know, for Cullum to have achieved the All-Ireland club on top of everything he had achieved, it was very much kind of the closing of the book or the icing on the cake in a lot of respects. So, you know, for us as a club, it was a great achievement. Personally, for him, it was an unbelievable achievement. You know, and there were so many other players that were involved with us that it's just, the club is everything. You know, the club is still everything. I mean, famously, we all would say that you can, you know, you can have all the glory externally, but the only people that will ever matter in your life are the people really close to you. When, through the bad days or good days, they're the people that are going to be around you all the time. You'll always have the people patting you on the back when you win the big days. You'll figure out you're really friends when, you know, things aren't probably going the way, you know, you'd like them to go at the time.
It's probably the question you've been asked a million times, but you're so well positioned to answer it now, as to winning an All-Ireland with the county then and winning the All-Ireland with the club. Is there a difference, like the emotions on the night, the emotions the week after, were they different?
Slightly different, for sure, because obviously, you know, you're dealing with different groups, and the kind of the attachment with your club is huge for me. So that would be a very, very big thing. But when you represent your county and you go out to, you know, be as successful as you can with your county, I mean, you know, the parades coming off, you know, the dressing room, you know, the amount of sacrifice you put in with your players on a county team, seeing them because they're, you know, the best athletes in the country, maybe at that time, but also in every time. I mean, it's an interesting sideshow just for a second. It's like over the last number of months, we've seen some of the greatest achievements internationally by some of our sports people. Shane Lowry only a week ago or whatever. And you have, you know, rugby players at the highest level, soccer players at the highest level, boxers. And yet, you know, the argument could be made that our most talented athletes in this country are GAA players. Mm. But we concentrate on GAA. That's our game. That's what we've always done, whether it's hurling or football or ladies football or camogie. So, you know, for us to have players that play and win in All-Ireland, that fantastic drug, you know, that fantastic energy that is there. I mean, I couldn't separate them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love 2007. I actually liked 2008, you know, because it gave us a bit a sense of where we were. It was a sense of grounding. It was a sense of reality. And sometimes in people's lives, you have to have a little bit of that. All the good stuff at times can mirror over some of the difficulties that you have. And sometimes, even through sports, when you see it, you figure out very quickly what's important in your life.
Yeah. Just before we leave Gooch, both of you obviously spent so much time with him through the years, and I think certainly from the outside for a long time we've seen he was this nice, quiet, shy guy who, you know, never got into any sort of trouble at all.
That's because I was getting into all the trouble.
Well, this is exactly my point. Were you the shield for him?
Was I the shield for him? There was no. He was well able to mind himself. He was as brave as a lion, which I always loved about him for the size he was, you know. And people think he was small. He wasn't that small. He was just kind of light, you know. But he was. His bravery kind of trumped all that. He'd throw himself in front of a car for a ball. That's the way he was. But he was, you know, I would have always been a bit protective of him, but I was kind of protective of all the boys, really, honestly.
You just like to scrap.
Probably, yeah. but yeah, no, he was, look, for me, like, we would have always had that kind of telepathic understanding. And he was a very keen basketballer. He'd have a very good understanding. And we just were on the same wavelength. And what I loved most about him was that he'd make the right pass all the time. And for a fella as good as he was, and, you know, like even Killian passed his record there, you know, and it's unbelievable achievement. But it wouldn't bother Gooch in the slightest that that's happened, because scoring was never a thing for him. Really wasn't. You know, he scored when it was the right thing to do for Kerry or the Crokes, but he always gave the hand pass or the kick pass if that was the right thing to do for Kerry or the Crokes. And there's a great sense of kind of honour and discipline out of that. Mm. And he made us all look a bit better than we were. So it was good to be out there with him, yeah.
Tell me about the Champions League game.
Yeah, well, he was good crack on the pitch, but he's good crack off it as well. We went over, myself, Darren Leary, and Kieran Leary, Crokes, Kerry captain in 2014. We went over to the Champions League game, and we were looked after on the Tuesday night for the Champions League, a lovely hotel, and bottles of beer inside in the room and getting the best of treatment. After the O'Donoghue's in Clarnay. And but on the Monday night, we said we go on a Monday kind of.
What year is this?
It was after the last league game. I can't think of the year. We drew a game across the road, last league game, to mm-hmm. stay up. Mm-hmm. Myself and Colin went to Dublin for a night, and yourself and Kieran stayed below, and we met on the Monday and we flew out.
Yeah.
And we had Tuesday night. We were getting looked after.
There was a festival over there on Monday. So we arrived and the place was bonkers. And we were like going, Jesus Christ. So we went into a hotel. Can we get it? There was no, you know, we weren't.
We tried all the five stars.
Yeah. Can only imagine.
There was nothing there. So we went to the next best, which was a hostel. And when they eventually gave us one room with two beds, so we did a bit of sharing, they gave us a towel and a bit of toilet roll each.
So you. Jeez. You Kerry lads must have a reputation when they go to London, do they?
But we'll never forget, we got in, we just kind of threw ourselves down in the bed, and there was red patches on the ceiling and everything, and we knew we were in trouble, so.
The curtains were kind of half closed, and we went over to try and open them, because it was daytime, and there was no opening them, and then I tried to close them, there was no closing them, they were just that way, that's the way they were.
You know things are bad when you're in the horrors before you go out.
Yeah. waking up the following morning was a horror show, because we gave it Waskey around Liverpool for the night, and... Yeah, we somehow made it back to this hotel. We somehow made it up to our room without getting killed, and creating our own blood patches on the roof. But so yeah, we woke up the following morning. I remember we woke up and we were kind of looking around, and it was early, like, because the light was coming in the window, and there was a kind of unanimous, let's f- let's go, let's get out of here. We couldn't get out of there fast enough. We were over in the lap of lugs, we were over bottles of Peroni inside the room, we were living it up, I knocked the steak off my plate. We were starved, weren't we? We were heading up for the game, we were getting a lift, and we were waiting for these steaks for like 45 minutes, and Gooch's big thing was a steak a day, keep the doctor away. So these four steaks were coming for us, and I was starving, and it was a small circular table, so we got the steaks, and my steak landed. And I went with the knife, of course, at the big juicy spit of the steak and did that. And down the plate went and the steak hit the carpet, the mushrooms, the onions, the chips. And I just took one look at it. And
shovel hands came out then.
Yeah. I just put the f***ing plate back up, scooped up all the food, covered it with pepper sauce, headed it away, and I don't bother.
I'd imagine, Pat, when you were Kerry manager, you simply didn't want to know what they were up to.
Absolutely. And in fairness, they were very good. There was very, very rarely.
Yeah,
no, they were
know.
Good. They were good, to be fair. I mean, obviously, during the off-season, they had their moments. I mean, Kieran had a run-in with St. Patrick above a Mayo in one of the league matches. I think he threw his wooden spoon at Kieran, and Kieran decided he'd throw it back. Not sure if it went to St. Patrick or he got somebody else. The guy who dresses as St. Patrick had all the league matches, so... Yeah, he took a little bit of damage.
Yeah, God rest him. That man passed away actually this year.
That's very sad.
Yeah,
this was the guy who was at all the Mayo matches.
Yeah, with this dressed up as St. Patrick. Yeah, I got a message about it, and
you threw a spoon at him.
I didn't actually. Worse, my mum be giving out to me. You know, she'd be listening, but I stuck up the finger at him.
Oh, I knew it. I didn't want to say it.
And there was a massive deal, and you know Timmy McCarthy, the great basketball guy.
Yeah,
Timmy was working in Ulster Bank at the time, like. You know, it was bad enough, I suppose. You know, I got a ban from one match, banned for it, but I met Timmy. Like, Timmy was a Tralee legend basketball, won the Super League with the club in Tralee, and, you know, well, Timmy, he shakes the head. Saw what you did the weekend, not good enough. I was like, man, true, stick at me like whatever. What would you do if some fella threw a stick at you downtown? And he's like, yeah, but you have to rise above all that. And I was like, Timmy, that's fine. I was after missing a kick to win the game. It was a level. I had a kick to win it. Looked like it was going over, tailed at the last second, jogging out, getting slapping the leg off of this thing. He maintains that a kid took it from him and threw it. So we'll give him his word on that one. I'll believe him.
When you took over then in 07, obviously, it was a big job at the time. Kerry just won the All-Ireland in a pretty convincing manner. Can't remember too much about the finals. Not worth talking about right now. Was there any part of you that was worried about going in and taking the job at that stage? Because the expectation is obviously here always to win All-Ireland. And having just done that with that group of players and a brilliant young group of players coming through, were you always going to take the job?
It was certainly not exactly on my radar at any stage. You know, I got a call. I was asked to go over to Tralee. They asked me if I was interested in taking the team, and that's literally how it came about. There was obviously no applications. There was no interviews, and that was it. No, I fully happy that I was going to go in and do my job. Certainly knew that the players were good enough. Certainly going back and winning back-to-back was always going to be a difficulty for anybody. But this team was a special team. Going over, working with the lads was great. There's no doubt about it like that. It was great fun. We famously obviously had to go again, kind of play Cork in the All-Ireland final that year. And, people were talking about the previous All-Irelands we had won would be worthless if we didn't, win this All-Ireland. And at the time, you look back and you kind of say, that's not true. Like, obviously, but at that particular
time...
Well,
we were down in Cork about a month ago, and I think that's how they feel about it.
Oh, yeah. They were pocketing them all. They were taking a 33-4, and we had to move all the medals back up to Cork if it happened. But it was great, and it was very enjoyable. But as I said, I mean, there was a group of players there that were driven, very much driven, and I think success obviously speaks for itself.
Semi-final against Dublin was an unbelievable...
Yeah, huge
wasn't
occasion.
It? Quarterfinal, it was a huge wave. Quarterfinal was big
quarterfinal
as well.
Against Monaghan.
Yeah.
Monaghan looked like they had us done. The Freemans were going well.
They were a good side as well.
Kieran knocks the ball down for Declan Sullivan, who was immense that year, who had taken a lot of punishment the year before in 2006 and was just immense all the way through 2007 and 2008.
He was close to player of the year.
He was.
I think Mark got it. But it was a time cost between the two of them were unbelievable.
But Dublin, there was a cameo in a Dublin match. We won by two. We have the ball down below by the Hill 16 end over by the Cusick. Pat Gilroy is managing Dublin. we're on the sideline, and Pat Gilmroy, which obviously doesn't happen too often on the sidelines, he nudges down next to me and he says, "Pat, you've got two free men over here." I says, "We're the only two people that can see that at the moment, Pat." Paul's on the other side of the pitch. So he started laughing. He said, "Yeah, but ball recycled to the two boys that were over here, and we kicked the ball over the bar." But it was as simple as that. That was, you know, we win the game, and that was the first, you know, that was an amazing game between Kerry and Dublin, you know, and again, like, from a Kerry and Dublin point of view, you know, we're always part of great classics with Dublin when we lose.
Yeah.
We're never part of great classics when we beat them for some reason or other. Not really sure, but we're...
Had Pat had some sort of temporary lapse of his senses or something when he'd spotted the two free men that...
But he was...
Was he jiving with you or just having...
No,
just telling you, just
he was just
straight,
telling me, because he was basically saying that we can't control anything. The players are controlling the game.
Well, he could probably shout at somebody and tell them that there's two free men.
I think we were so far away from everything that he was making the point. And I think Kieran was making the point that that game itself was so emotionally charged and it was really intense and loud. That it was the first time you really could not really influence too much from the side, you know?
Darren, your role over those couple of years as the super sub, or nowadays you'd be the finisher, which is a more acceptable term.
Sounds great. Like,
were you constantly in Pat's ear saying, "What's going on? Get me in there from the start"?
No, I'd mind his back calling him a bollocks. No, I don't think I moaned to it at all. It wasn't my kind of thing. Like, I knew I had a role to do. Like, I see players coming in. No, I don't think they would do it. But like Pat said, like, we had an unbelievable team. It wasn't like I was going to go up to Pat and say, "Well, I should be on because such and such shouldn't be on." Now, who was I going to say shouldn't be on? And I knew that what I was doing, as good a squad that we had, I was probably the best at doing that. And I took that as a compliment. And my thing was, if I can contribute and we're winning All Ireland's, who cares if I'm playing 20 minutes or 70 minutes? I was like that.
He was a super sub for years, but for the first few years of his career, like 06, kind of 07, 08, and 09, he was captain. But them 3 years and any time after that, and I've played my whole career with Darren, that he wasn't on, he always carried it very well, because if I was his build and had his pace and had his bullet of a left leg, I'd probably want to be on a lot.
Yeah.
You know, being as good as a footballer as he was, and never ever had that kind of let that get on top of him. He kind of knew, because we knew it as well as players. Like, to be quite honest with you, Darren, I would have said, "Fucking hold Darren for the last 20 minutes." Sorry, Darren. I never said that.
I never
said that to Pat or Jack or any of the lads. But
the worst thing about it was actually, do you know what? It wasn't too, like, as bad as it was, you want to start. It was always the night after the match, because the starting 15 would be off playing soccer and the subs would be doing runs. And that's when I'd start cursing the boys.
That's when you were cranky.
And I'd go, "What's
you want to show off them QPR skills?"
Yeah, I don't need to be this fit. I'm only playing 20 minutes. Sure, my mother'd do that. But that was the only time I used to get cranky. It was the
Monday night.
Yeah, I just hate it.
He doesn't get enough credit for your career, because everyone thinks of your relationship with Gooch, but you were the one who played the ball in that game against Longford in 06.
You were
the one who suddenly noticed
it.
Played it in high to the big man. Was
I said,
something worth doing.
I said, "Why isn't anyone thinking about this? I'm going to lob this on top of him." But I know we had a good relationship there as well.
We had a good, as much as myself and Gooch had a telepathic understanding when he had the ball out the field. The way he played, the angle he'd get it, the way he'd start off running, I'd know where his mind was at. Just from, I suppose, training so much, I'd know, like, that, okay, Darren's getting this and taking on his man. He wants to test his man's pulse early. Or I'd know that he might be a bit tired and he'd get it and he'd have a look straight away. That meant, I'm kicking this fucking leg. One of you better win it inside. So, yeah, he definitely did. Like, you know, that ball that day was a peach of a ball, really. It gave me great confidence after I caught
that. We had great relationships, though, off the field, like that. We're on about going away. Like, and I think that sometimes lacks in certain teams. Like, we're on about training together, but we were working together. Well, work might be a loose term with us at the bank. We used to turn up 9 to 5 Monday to Friday together. But, like, so we spent a lot of time together. So, like, you're always talking. Like, you know, we were saying, when you're going on holidays, a lot of it was team holidays, and, you know, the wives and girlfriends were friends, the players were very close. So even when we weren't talking about football or focusing on it, we were still chatting about it. Do you know, so it was always
get
there.
And how to get better would have always been high on the list. Like
you would have spoken about that a lot as players.
All the time.
Who are you watching thinking they're doing things that we can improve on?
Whoever, if someone beat you a year in a way, you know, they'd be high in the agenda. But I think it was more about how to get ourselves better. Yeah. Exactly. They were probably the only team really that beat us in that kind of 6-7 year period. And they would have been certainly kind of high in the list. But we were never really going to do what they would do. Do you know, like, you'd look at Dublin now, and if I was playing now and I was looking at Dublin, I'd be trying to do as much things as Dublin are doing, whether it's backdoor loops, whatever they're at, the way they defend together, the way they defend is a kind of they go man to man, but they're always looking over their shoulder if the ball's past them, they're helping, they're, you know. So you'd be learning, we were never really going to turn around and play like Tyrone because it's just, you know, it just wouldn't have been something that we would have looked to do. So it was always about how do we get better? Do we need to train harder? Do we need to probably buy in more into the gym? There was a few fellas guilty of probably not, me included, not buying into the gym. That like the guys would know, like every kid that comes through now at 18 or 19 he's after 3 or 4 years of weights. Whereas me at 19, I'd never lifted a weight in my life, and Pat Flanagan's telling me lift weights and you'd be doing it and then you'd be sore the following day and you'd be like, Jesus Christ, you're trying to catch a ball, you'd hurt your arm and that'd be enough to give up the weights for another while. But no, there was, you know, it would have always been about how do we get better for Kerry. Would have been a big talking point, I feel. We'd have to shoot the breeze. But if we were well on it, it'd come down to how do we get better? How do we make sure we win this next year, or how do we go about it? Yeah.
I know you were saying there, like, because it was Cork in 07, maybe it was built into being something more than it was, but like every All-Ireland victory is sweet. But for the players to have gone back-to-back, like no team had gone back-to-back since Cork in, 1990, and like in Kerry, to just stand out that little bit, it must have meant a huge amount to do the back-to-back as a group.
It did, but like Kieran was saying, I genuinely think there was an expectancy. Obviously, there is among supporters, but we felt we should be winning All-Ireland. So as great it was, and it was brilliant to win back-to-back, it was almost a case of we've just done what we should be doing and you're ready to move on and you're looking at the next year. And it wasn't as if you were downplaying or anything. It was, we had high standards. We never let them slip. We didn't look at other teams like Kieran was saying and saying, we should be doing what they're doing. We genuinely had we are Kerry, we'll do what we do. And that's just the way that group was at the time. Like, there was All-Ireland from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you know? And when you lost, it was just, we threw that away. Right, next year we'll go again. And there wasn't a big deal made out of it. Obviously, it was a big deal. It was great.
There was a bit of a deal made of it in the Sunday night after the game, but we didn't draw it out. But you would have been, like, it was your first year in with us, 07, and the epic semi-final against Dublin was big. Obviously beating Cork, for us Kerry people, as you said, it wasn't true what was being said about that fact that all the All-Ireland's gone before will be kind of up in smoke if we don't do it. But we certainly felt that internal pressure among ourselves to make sure we deliver. And you would have been always, your key point from the minute you came in, which I always loved, was who you doing it for, who you playing for, who bought you your first set of boots. So for you, it was winning Kerry manager, and we've done Ratmore and we've done Tralee and we pull up across the road and you're getting on top of the bus and you're passing your mum and dad's house going down. Tell me what's going through your, the proudness, the emotions. Mm. What's going through? Can you take me back to just going down the hill, kind of coming into Killarney, the buzz?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was genuinely amazing. First of all, the emotion was relief after the match. You're asked to do a job, so you do a job. And you basically hand back the keys when you're done, but you've done your job. So we get in. It's funny again because we get on over outside the stadium, and it was Dara Shea actually came up to me, and words of wisdom. There we go. And Dara says, you know, Dara gave me this real big pep talk about, you know, back in Killarney, your own people, you know, bringing down the cup. And
class.
You know, and it was, because I didn't think of it at that stage.
Yeah.
You know, because at that stage, we were still there to do a job, which was go down.
Your job was to get all the players down the town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we probably lost Tomás maybe somewhere along the way. But again, that was inevitable.
You were never going to get Tomás
mentally, physically.
In three tones. Yeah. Like, he'd always, some fella waiting for him in the car in some banter or somewhere. Yeah. Where's Tomás gone, lads?
I think we passed him in Tralee one day, and he was standing outside a grand with a pint. And he was clapping us as we were going by. And we thanked him for turning up. We thanked him. We said, yeah, I appreciate it, Tomás.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was great, Kieran. I mean, again, very much your own people, very much. You finish above in Dublin, you finish in Croke Park in the match. And it is great, the emotion is great, but my emotion is, let's get home. I don't want to be hanging around Dublin. I do not want to be hanging around, you know, interviews. And I would just prefer to get home, be with your own people. And there's that sense of when you come home after an All-Ireland, when Kerry win, there is that sense of everybody is together, that collectiveness. People drive in from all the corners of Kerry to support the team. So they're there on the night. And there is a huge outpouring of emotion. So it is great. And it's difficult, to explain. And you would hope and you would love for everybody to experience it once in their life, genuinely, because that's why you play the game, for those days, for those one opportunities to play at the highest level, to win the biggest prize. And, you know, you look at so many counties and so many clubs that miss out on that narrowly, and, you know, you just hope someday that they get a chance to experience it.
We are here tonight with thanks to Super Value, who are celebrating 10 years as sponsor of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. We've got a competition coming up in a little while for everybody who's here with us tonight, and Dr. Crokes. Finishing up then, you speak there about handing over the keys, and that Tyrone game, the final in 08, is built up as this era-defining game, as which team will be the team of the decade, and Tyrone obviously go and win it and win their third All-Ireland, but Kerry bounce back in 09 and make it 3 in 4 years. For you, stepping aside after 08, was that a straightforward decision? Did you feel, I've done my 2 years, I've thrown my life into this, and even though it's not finishing the way I want, that you were happy to pass it on?
Genuinely, I was. It was never there for the long haul. Spoke with the management team after 2008, had that very conversation. Do you know, look, I'm done. 2 years is good. Two boys said, we're going to win the All-Ireland next year in 2009. I said, I know that. So why don't you stay? Nah, I'm done, I said. I'm happy. I've done my 2 years. I know the boys will be successful. Won't be an issue. Very much enjoyed my period. Very much enjoyed the time. But, you know, I was happy. I was very happy to come out of that bubble.
I would have could get a sense that would have been, you know, even watching you this year, you'd batty out doing, or the last few years, you'd batty doing a bit of spieling for you there after games. And I know you don't like any of that, which is very admirable in you. But was that a part that, if you could have just done the job and been kind of almost left alone to do the job, not a Cody or a Mickey Hart, but would you like to just keep going? And was that a big reason of the pressure, the invasion of privacy from people that they don't even realize it, but they're, well, Pat, is Gooch all right? Are you going to win tomorrow? And you're having to answer that 200 times a day. Mm-hmm. Was that a big bearing on it?
It was. Yeah. It was, and mainly because that's not me. I think, you know, at that level, there's an awful lot of other sideshows that go on. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be very ego-driven. You know, it can be very much an individual craving for attention, for, you know, individual accolades. You know, and that wasn't me. And, you know, and that bubble was difficult for me. And it took me a huge amount of time after 2008 just literally to get my life back, where I could literally walk down the street and go for a drink or go for something to eat and just chill out. And that was it. Not worry. You know, even now, it's far more comfortable to be able to do that. But I love coaching. I love being involved. I love managing teams. Love being involved with the teams. But that other part is difficult.
Would you not go back in it? I know you're here, you said, out on a Saturday morning coaching the under-sixes, and like 25 years ago you were writing books on coaching in GAA, so you're clearly to the forefront of sort of modern thought of what coaching should be. Like, have you not looked at maybe in Kerry or other county jobs of that role where you don't need the spotlight, where you can still work with the elite players?
Yeah, no, that would have...
Rochford type role?
Yeah, I would have... I'm really looking forward to how he does next Saturday now. He's not going to sleep for a couple of days. but that's going to be an interesting sideshow. But no, the answer is no, Nathan. There's certainly no buzz to go outside in any other county or go anywhere else like that. I mean, the buzz would always be Kerry. I mean, that's our love. That's as Kerry people, that's it. It was just that I really enjoyed the 2 years, but it was never really... I didn't really need to go back anymore. And it's no burning desire for me to ever go back there again at any stage. But I would support the team and wish the team and do my bit. If I'm going to give anything in a coaching capacity anymore, it's certainly here. I mean, look, that's my life. you know, and that's the way I would prefer to be.
Yeah.
I'm happy enough. I mean, we talk about life being short and about what you have, and everybody has their own issues. So for me, it's the club.
Yeah, I think you're lucky to have them, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Of course, he does step away then in 08 and big changes in 09, a new captain.
Yeah.
You had to break the news, did you?
I know, yeah, down they had a great win in the county final and he was captain, and I'd say we'd had our maybe had our first meeting because Pat was gone and Jack was back in, and he had to obviously come in and kind of go about his thing. But Darren had won his county final, and Jack had called him and don't do any interviews now. And he's, you know, he was kind of saying to us, don't do any pieces or
keep the head down.
Keep the head down.
Yarra yarra.
Yarra yarra. And next thing, myself and Dara O'Shea were busy working one day in town, and we decided to come up with a master plan. So we wrote up a kind of a
master plan by the boys.
Wrote up
two busy boys.
Like a script for Father Ted, was it?
We wrote up a script for Father Ted, yeah. And Dara rang Darren, and what I can't get over to this day is how he can't do
accents.
Dara can't do any accents. So it was literally Dara O'Shea going, "Hi, Darren, how's it going? I forget what he called him. Peter McNulty here from the Daily Star. We're looking to do one piece about the captaincy. Oh, Jesus, no, Jack told me I can't do it. We're not supposed to do anything. I know, Darren, this is only a small few questions." And Dara, in his persuasive manner, got your man to kind of bumble yes over.
Hold on, no, a second. He'd also told me, Dunnock has done it, and Sean Bourne has done it.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever gets the captaincy will go with that.
Yeah.
I can't leave him down.
Yeah.
I actually went down and asked my boss, could I do it? And he gave me an office in the back to do it. I was taking this seriously.
That was still the tough 9-to-5 Monday to Friday days, was it?
Yeah, and Dara did a bit of an interview with him, and of course we recorded it like ages, and it wasn't around the time, no, it was 2009. I don't even know if Instagram or Twitter or any of them were there.
Thankfully.
God, no.
We recorded it and probably sent it into a message onto him afterwards, like, but it was, some people probably here have heard it, but it's good skit. Don't look it up.
Yeah. Bit late.
Do we have the exact?
I think it's gone off the internet. Darren got it taken down.
2011 as a player for you, was that your best year? You end up nominated for Footballer of the Year?
Hold on, no, you're just going to brush over the fact that he won an All-Ireland as captain in 2009. Like, yeah, bait Cork again, like you're moving on to 2011.
Beating Cork, you said, was nothing. It was fine.
That was a given. No, 2011 was, like, and it's like, if I think back to the football, like, it actually started out here. McGrath Cup against Clare. I think my grandfather had passed away the day before, and I was there going, geez, will I play when I won't play? It's only McGrath Cup. And I remember going, sure, what am I going to be doing? Like, won't be doing nothing back in the house. And the father said, just go play, sure, look. He'd want you to play anyway. So yeah. I went out and played. And I played every game after that. I think I missed one game, and it was literally they gave me a rest. And it was just from playing. And I think the same year, Jack more or less didn't give me any instructions. He more or less said, just do what you do. And I just felt like I was Kieran Sight then. I just went out and I did it. I felt comfortable. Literally, when I was there, the boys would hand me ball and leave me at it. I was playing with good players, made things easy, but obviously it was a great year, but it's still a sour point because of the way it finished off. So that's the way it's always going to be to me. It's always going to be a bit of a downer.
Yeah, if you just won that game, Dublin would still be waiting. The whole world would be different for everyone. Did I hear somebody, one of the first messages you saw that evening was somebody text you saying, if the game had finished 5 minutes earlier, you'd have another All-Ireland, you would have been Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, and he threw a man the match as well, which I was surprised
at. Who was it?
We won't go there.
But it's amazing how results can just literally wipe away a year.
Yeah.
You know, wipe away a memory of a year. You know, if you're successful, it doesn't really matter what has happened. You're on the winning team, and if you're not, then obviously everything has just been wiped off your memory. And it's a pity because obviously when you had a year like Darren had that time, and you know, there's, you know, plenty of people have had super years, and the year that we've lost, you know, it's just sport. It doesn't take any prisoners.
It's cruel sometimes.
But even we were on all relationships. Colin was obviously captain as well. I think it was the first time ever everyone wanted Kerry to win because they wanted to see him captaincy. And we talked about relationships and being very close, and to see, like, we were nearly there, like we were halfway up the steps, and
Sure, if I finished 5 minutes earlier.
That's it. We should have changed the timing. But yeah, that was the worst about it, to be honest. Yeah.
Has Sean Boylan arrived yet?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. We can wrap up this segment then for now, lads. You've been brilliant with your time. Get Boylan on. You're going to come back up in a little while, but you've been brilliant. Pat O'Shea, great stuff talking about Crokes. As well, Darren O'Sullivan.